From In the Beginning to the Musical Apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman. I don't spend much time on social media, but this morning I happened upon a post from one of the users I follow for fun. It showed a picture of the coexist symbol being sliced through the middle by a sword with a cross at the wielding end. Attached to this picture was the poster's opinion of the coexist symbol. There were many ridiculous things said during his rant, but I wanted to point a few things out that he mentioned. Starting with, Christianity is not merely one option out of many at some kind of global spiritual buffet where alternatives like Islam or Buddhism are equally valid options. God commands all people everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30, and to obey the gospel of Jesus, 1 Peter 4:17. He then continues, everyone serves the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. Everyone worships Satan or the triune God. There is no middle ground. Christianity is the death knell to every vain philosophy and false religion raised against the knowledge of God, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Every sinful human is his enemy, and every knee will bow, Philippians 2:10. The only question is whether those knees will bow today to the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2, or whether those knees will be broken with a rod of iron, Psalm 2:9, on the last day before their owners are cast into the eternal lake of fire, Matthew 25:41. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, Mark 1:15. Scary stuff. Captain Overzealous here is not alone in his way of thinking. Countless ascribe to this rhetoric. It's not the invisible man I'm afraid of. It's the people who want to enact these sort of things in the name of the invisible man that truly scare me. Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with? Okay, so it took you reading the Bible to realize that those things were bad for you?
Yeah, it actually did.
Couldn't you figure this out on your own?
No, Ted Bundy could be redeemed. God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you.
Today's special guest is the CEO and founder of High Key Enterprises, Luke Lintz. Welcome to the show, Luke.
Hey, thanks for having me here. Looking forward to this.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for taking the time. Tell us a little bit about High Key Enterprises.
Yeah, so High Key Enterprises right now is a public relations firm where we specifically help with building up elite personal brands. And so we do that through social media, press, and celebrity endorsements. And so it's been a long journey to get here, but I started when I was very young, so I'm still very young. I started when I was 16 in high school. And yeah, we've kind of just been going these past 8 years.
Wow. Celebrity endorsements. Who do you got?
Well, celebrities that we partnered with, we kind of coined the giveaway model on Instagram. I'm not sure if you've ever seen this, but basically we partner up with celebrities and they do a massive giveaway, give away a Tesla, designer bags, or cash on their Instagram. And it's to incentivize their followers to go over to an account and follow a list of giveaway sponsors. Huh. And so we basically facilitate the giveaway where we get the celebrity and then we also sell giveaway sponsorship spots because they gain followers from the campaign. Wow. And then we kind of headed really this entire industry, created a brand around it. And we've been able to partner up with like Kevin Hart, Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, the Kardashians, Lil Baby, Noah Schnapp, Bella Thorne, hundreds of others really.
I know about two of those. But that's okay. So why'd you start it? What made you get into this?
Yeah, so back when I was 15, mm-hmm. I kind of went into the social media space where me and my older brother were just thinking of things to do on our spare time. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we were watching a lot of gaming influencers on social media. So W2S, KSI, you might know them, but they played video games and they basically reacted to it. we're like, hey, we're kind of entertaining, we're funny, we're charismatic, we could do this. And so we basically created a YouTube channel and was reacting to gaming content just like how we watch content. And we did it for 8 months, and it turned out to be a massive failure at the end of the 8 months. So we ended the 8 months with 120 subscribers, which was pretty much just friends and family after working ridiculously hard on that journey. And then we decided to shut it down and that we weren't going to become gaming influencers. So then we took a hiatus for a couple of months and realized, like, okay, we have some more time. Let's figure out something that we could do. And we thought of this product, which was completely wireless earbuds. And at the time, back in 2016, there was no such thing as AirPods. There was no wireless earbuds in the entire industry. There was no wireless earbuds being sold in North America. And so we searched online to try and find some, and we found a pair in China that we could source. Wow. And this was kind of just like, just being naturally curious, being resourceful. And so we found these wireless earbuds. We bulk purchased them with the money that we had in our bank account. And we ended up using Instagram content to sell the wireless earbuds. And then after a long journey, we sold those wireless earbuds before I graduated high school. We made 7 figures from that and also tons of failures. And then we ended up getting very greedy, committed one of the 7 deadly sins and overpurchased on inventory, lost out on a ton of money, went $300,000 in debt. And it led to a transition point where we had to, you know, really think about what are we good at? What can we do that's not this product-based business? And we realized that what we were good at was building an Instagram presence, building a brand. Mm. And so we transitioned into what we do now, which is helping other people build a brand and public relations.
Awesome. Awesome. No, that's awesome, man. Good job. Good job. Cool story too. So the 7 deadly sins, you mentioned that a little bit there. As far as the Bible and God and all that, where does that fit into this?
Yeah. And I was really excited for this. Huh. I was really excited for this show because I've been getting more into that very recently, where I grew up a Christian. I went to a Catholic Christian elementary school, and I was kind of just going through the motions then, where I felt like whenever I was going to church, where it was like once every 1 week or 2 weeks that we had to go to church because we went to a Catholic elementary school. I literally was, I remember being in the church at the time and thinking that the priest was literally speaking gibberish. I couldn't resonate with any of the words being said.
Kind of like the peanuts when the adults talk, you know, won't. Been there, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like a lot of people, a lot of the younger generation, and maybe people listening to the podcast can resonate with that at a younger age of just having no connection to the written word. And that's exactly what I felt back then. And so I got heavily away from it, especially when we started up the business and started making lots of money. I was filled with my ego. I came into a lot of money at a very early age through my own success. And so I always thought it was like myself who did this and that I earned this just by myself, and became very ego, prideful, and really a lot of things that I didn't want to be as a person. I ended up getting into bad groups who were just like completely money focused. And then I reflected back in a huge piece of scripture in the Bible that has helped me out a lot. And a huge reflection point was, don't be a fool. Bad company corrupts good morals. It's in Corinthians. And it was something that resonated with me heavily, where I looked back at a lot of the bad paths that I went down, especially related to towards money. And it was in relation where I've always felt like I had good morals, but I wasn't tapped into those because I had bad company surrounding me.
Do you think it was the company that corrupted you, or the money, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both, for sure. I think that money is an embellishment of who you already are. And so I don't think money necessarily changes people. I think money just accentuates the type of person you already are.
Interesting. Interesting. So you are already this person. Then you got the money and it came out that you were this person. I don't want to say bad person, but somebody you didn't like. Somebody you didn't want to be. How's that? We can go with that.
For sure.
So the money made you the person that you didn't want to be, but you were already that person. The money brought it out. And then what happened? Did Jesus step in? Oh, better yet, was that a product of the devil? Did the devil help any of that? Or was that all your own?
Yeah, I think I went so far off on a being path where there were multiple times where I had more money than I could ever utilize. Where even right now I'm at a place where I could potentially like retire for the rest of my life if I wanted to. And I'm extremely grateful and fortunate for that. Yeah, but there were times where I just like felt so lost throughout the past 8 years, just not knowing the answers of being sucked in, where the bad company was mainly like mentors in my life that I looked up to in many different areas. And those mentors were very, very good in business in terms of generating money, but everything outside of business was horrible in their lives. They cheated on their girlfriends, cheated on their wives. They partied all of the time, nonstop. They spent so much money on clubs, demonic settings, all of these things. And don't get me wrong, I still really like partying and having a good time, but like partying in a completely different sense of things, you know?
Like, what do you mean demonic settings?
Well, demonic settings like clubs, strip clubs, nightclubs, all of those places are just extremely demonic.
Explain that. How are they demonic?
Well, strip clubs are literally people selling their bodies in exchange for money.
Well, not their whole body. You just get to look at it. I mean, you don't get the body. You don't get to take it home. That's just a peep show kind of thing. So, I mean, where's the demons fit in there, though?
I've been around these. I've been around like people in this industry, and all of the time they have values and belief systems where when I ask them deeper questions, for example, what do you think happens after life? It usually has nothing to do with an afterlife. Most of the decisions that are made on this, I believe most of the decisions made while you're on this earth are based off of what you think happens afterwards, because we're here for a finite period of time and afterwards is eternal life. And so I noticed that a lot of people in these settings don't necessarily have belief systems, whether it be Christianity or any of these things, that anything happens afterwards. And so really their entire thing is about accumulating money while they're here and having the most amount of fun while they're here. That's usually enjoying the things life that they say.
Yes.
Enjoying
life. I can get behind that for sure. As long as it doesn't do any harm. If you're not harming somebody and you're enjoying yourself, have at it, man. Good job. As far as that. So you're correlating the fact that they don't believe in an afterlife to their bad decisions on earth now, to their assholery, I guess.
I think for sure could be an aspect of it.
Interesting.
Because consequences, no fear. It's like if you grow up in a household without a father figure that would like discipline you, then you're way more likely to be rebellious because
I'm a pretty rebellious child, and I had a father that disciplined me, so I don't know about that one. also, I don't believe in an afterlife. I don't think I'm going to go off to some cloud city full of gold. I don't. I also don't think I'm going to go to the pit of hell that lots of people say I'm going to. But I lead a life that does less harm. I try and do more good than I do harm in the world.
What do you think happens after life?
I think I turn back into Earth, back into the cycle, the circle of life, you know? Lion King said it best.
That's like Buddhism.
That's just naturalism, man. It's just humanism. It's the way it is. We have no indication that after I die, any part of me goes anywhere else besides the earth and decays. We have nothing. We can't see it. We've never witnessed a soul leave a body. We've never seen any pictures of heaven. So the afterlife thing to me is, it's just stories and wishful thinking. A lot of wishful thinking, you know. I mean, it'd be nice. Oh, man, I can live in heaven with grandma and my mom and my dog and all that. That's great. No, I don't. I just die. I mean, this is what I got. And I think that's what makes it important, is because I have this little bit of time to do everything. So how am I going to spend that? How am I going to do it? Am I going to leave a positive influence? Am I going to leave a meh? Am I going to try and do better? I'm going to try to do best, man. Do less harm.
So why does leaving a positive influence matter? Why does leaving a legacy matter?
If I don't feel like being an asshole. I mean, honestly, I like things to be better than I left them. You know, that whole thing, go into when you go into the forest, leave it better than you left it. Pick up your trash, obviously. Stuff like that. So I like the things the way they are. I'd like them to be kumbaya and all that. You know, I'm all for that. I don't like the violence. I'm not a violent person. I mean, I watch action films, but but I'm not a violent person. I don't. That's not my thing. I don't like being harmed. I don't think you like being harmed. You know, I like fun and enjoying my life. So that's where I'm at. And as long as it's not hurting anybody.
But it's the definition of what's harm. Like, what's harmful? Like, sure, you might not be physically abusing somebody, and. But like, for example, if we go back to the, you had some rebuttals about like the demonic setting of like strip clubs, for example, where is that doing harm to other people? I know people are willfully going there, but having access to that, is that doing harm for people? I know it's not in the abusive sense of like beating somebody up, but
is what if everybody's just having a good time?
Is that what life nobody's is about, being harmed. Having a good time?
That's why I'm here. That's why my life exists. I'm going to have a good time, you know, leave it better than I left it. You know, I don't know, man. I don't know. It doesn't seem like that difficult to me. I don't want to be the bad guy in the story. I'd like to be either the good guy or just the guy in the background that, you know, doesn't do much. It never gets noticed, you know. I'm okay with that. That's okay with me. So I don't need God or an invisible figure to tell me how to do good in life or what to do in life. And then the guy that we're referring to, God, the Christian God, I've read his book. He's not all that, man. He is not the center of morality. He's a horrible, egocentric, documented child killer. I'm not going to get my morals from that. I'm not going to be wishing I can spend eternity with that, you know?
So when somebody's born into this world with no morals, no values, or no belief system to abide by, so to speak, and they're growing up in a world where they're given the choice of everything. If you have the choice of everything with no baseline foundational set of belief system, values, morals, where do they come from?
My society, my life experiences, my common sense, my empathy, all of those things. But you can't tell me that we get our morals from the Bible.
I don't say that we get our morals from the Bible. And the Bible, it says,
we'd be burning all the people at the strip club if
in the Bible, it says it's written in our hearts. It's written inside of us. And I think every single person can agree to that.
You think Jeffrey Dahmer had it written in his heart? You think Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, all those people had, you know, empathy?
That's saying that those people listened to what was inside their hearts.
Okay, now that's a whole other thing. Now I have to listen to what's inside my heart. How to explain that? I've got my heart. I'm a really bad person. I'm committing genocide. I think that this certain race is terrible and we have to get rid of it. But in my heart, it's telling me what?
Well, we're talking about people who are so far off the beaten path. I'm talking
right. You're like, telling me everybody though. But some people that are mentally unable to comprehend the less pain thing or the good parts, right?
Well, that's going down something else. I'm just talking about, like, we're talking about every single person in this world, you, me, the general public.
Every person except for those people.
No, we can get into those people afterwards, every single person has morals with inside of them.
Well, how do you know that?
I've talked with a lot of people and I can feel it inside of myself too.
Well, that's weird. I don't know what that means.
and it talks about all throughout Christianity, which, like, you can believe in Christianity or you can believe in it not, but it's the largest movement of mankind. And so you can't really deny
Islam is actually the largest movement and the earliest, or was it Buddhism? No, it was Hinduism. Hinduism is the oldest one. So that's the oldest. The largest is Islam or Muslim. Christianity is up there. It's close, but I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't think it's the largest one. Well, but yeah, it's a big movement. I'll agree with you on that. We'll go with
massive
that.
Movement.
It's a massive amount of people that have Jesus as their invisible friend and talk to him and rely on the Bible for their moral guidance. That's scary. That scares me a little bit, honestly, Luke. I've read the book.
Yeah. Well, those are just words written on a page. Like those are.
Yes, exactly. But people take them to heart and put them, I guess, in their heart.
People take it. People can take anything and, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't make that movement right. It doesn't make that movement a good movement. It doesn't make that movement beneficial to the masses, you know? So, yeah. I mean, if we could still have a mass delusion, it's still a mass delusion. Yeah.
So what are the things inside of the Bible that you think direct people in the wrong direction of them not being, for example, if they follow Christianity, of them not being good Samaritans in this world?
Well, slavery is in the Bible. That's number one.
That's taking slavery into a context of what it happened to in the future.
Like, they were people that weren't free. I mean, that's all I need to know. You were not free to go as you please. So
a lot of slavery was talked about in the Old Testament.
And we've used it to push slavery in the United States. We've used it to condone these actions. So no, I don't think, and then it says to stone gay people. I don't think that's a good idea either. I don't think we should be doing that. I think those are horrible ideas. And because of that, gay people have all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues, legal issues, just regular, normal things that people would like to do, like getting married. How long did that happen?
It says stone gay people because it specifically says in multiple parts of the Bible for you not to judge others because we're all sinners in this world.
I love that. Thank you for that. It does say it a couple of places. People do not, kill gay men that Yahweh made gay. Therefore, that's Romans 1:24-27. Oh, this is Yahweh made them gay. Sorry, I'm looking for the old. There it is. Leviticus 20:13. If a man lies with a man as they lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. And then later on, in Romans 1:24-27, God makes people gay, and then they have to suffer the consequences of their gayness, which is being stoned to death. So I mean, it's a couple
is that
places.
In the Old Testament?
Old and New. It's an old and new. Old and new. Romans is New Testament. So yeah,
and
I don't think that's a good idea.
What was the exact line in Romans?
Romans is, therefore God gave them over in their sinful desires, so it's sinful to be gay, hearts of sexual impurity in the degrading of their own bodies with one another. They exchanged truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned their natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with one other men and received in themselves the due penalty for this error. And the due penalty is what?
But it doesn't say the due penalty.
It does. It's verse 27. And received in themselves the due penalty for their error. And we know exactly what that is because God has stated that previously, what the due penalty is for that.
When did God state that?
Leviticus 20:13.
Yeah, but that's a translation from other people in the Old Testament. The New Testament.
All of this is a translation from other people.
Exactly.
How books work.
Exactly. That's why you can't follow it directly. And the New Testament is.
Well, how are you supposed to know then, Luke? That makes perfect sense. These things add up. That's what he wants. That's what he said. This is what he's doing. But now it's not. Why? Because it's bad?
I know it's a crazy thing, Michael, of where us as humans, we want to make sense of everything. I completely understand that of wanting to make sense of everything and feeling the need that everything needs to have absolutes. And so
God tells me he's not the author of confusion. That's what the Bible says. God is not the author of confused. Luke, we're clearly confused here. Clearly. I mean, I say one thing, you say another. That's confusing.
No, it's
not. Why is God the author of confusion?
Because if we go back to what I said of it being written inside of us, just like how you said, where you have alternative beliefs than I have, you still want to be a good person. And that's the ultimate thing that I'm coming down to, is that if every single person is listening to inside themselves, they ultimately want to become a, they,
how do you know that though, Luke? That's a bold statement, but you've got nothing for it though. It's all it is a claim. And we have no way to back that claim up. We can't look inside each person's heart. I gave you a couple examples, Pol Pot. What's the guy with the Jim Jones? Oh, gross. Terrible people. There's lots of terrible people out there. I can't envision them fighting with their hearts. I want to be a good person. No, you shut up. I'm an asshole. You know, I don't know. I just don't see that argument going on in their heads. But again, I don't know either. It's just a claim. So we can just sit here and make claims about these things, but we don't know these people's hearts. But you know who does? God, right? God knows their hearts. God knows their thoughts. God knows their actions. Even before he created them, he knew what they were going to do. And you mentioned demon possession and demon demonic settings. God created demons knowing exactly what they were going to do. God created Satan knowing exactly what he was going to do. So why would we trust a guy who creates all these bad guys knowing they're going to be bad guys?
Giving us the freedom of choice.
That's not freedom of choice. He created them knowing they're going to do this. If I take a wind-up toy and I know exactly what's going to happen when I wind it up.
You have to have polar opposites. You know, you do. You wouldn't be able to experience different aspects of life if you didn't have polar opposites.
God can't create a world without evil? To where
there would
we can
be
experience
no such thing
life?
As happiness without sadness.
You're telling me God can't do that. God cannot create a world like that, where there's just happiness and no sadness.
Yeah, but we're living in the world that there is for, and I personally don't know the exact reason of why we're here.
So is heaven a happy place with no sadness?
I don't know what heaven is.
Oh, but do you think it's a happy place with no sadness?
I think that it's a. I think that it's a place where feelings don't exist.
Wow! We're robots.
I don't think that it's anything that has to do with the human experience. I think the human experience is here for a specific reason. So, that you're able to live life, experience different emotions, go through problems, go through struggles, be good to others.
And then what? And then, like, what? What's the point? What's the point in heaven if you're not going to even be happy or anything? You can't even just be whelmed. You're just there.
I think the things that happen in this world, like the lessons that you have, the relationships that you build, I think that they touch an aspect of your soul. I think there's a reason why we can't concept. And dude, I'm going to sit here right now. I can't conceptualize afterlife. I can't conceptualize heaven in my mind. And I think that there's a specific reason why I can't conceptualize what the afterlife is.
Well, the Bible says it's a place with no sorrow. So doesn't say it's the place with no happiness, though. I don't know. That's a harsh one, man. I don't know if all these Christians would agree with you. They might be a little upset with your non-happy heaven there.
I don't care if Christians agree with me or not.
So Eden, was Eden a good place? Was that do you believe Eden was a place, or is that a mistranslation?
What do you mean?
Like the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. What do you mean by it was a good place?
Was it a real place?
Was it a real place? Like,
yes.
Inside the Bible, like, was there, like, did it actually exist?
Do you believe Eden existed at one point in time?
I think there's so many aspects of the Bible that are just metaphors and are stories. And
is that one of them?
What are you getting at, whether it was one of them?
I just
want
to know if you believe in the creation of it all. If the Eden story is something you believe.
I think that, if anything, it was a very strong metaphor, like a lot of things in the Old Testament.
And how do you decipher between the metaphor and the real stuff?
That's, dude, I'm 24. That's something that I'm working on, is going to be a lifelong journey of mine.
What do you think is real in there? Like, let's start with the real stuff. What do you consider real in the Bible?
Well, the things that I know are real are Jesus actually being on this earth, because it's across many different religions and it's actually in a lot of historical contexts that it's proven that Jesus or the Messiah or whoever, like not necessarily in the context of Christianity, because Christianity came after Jesus. Like Christianity wasn't even a thing when Jesus was here. The movement of Christianity came after Jesus.
And so 50 some odd years after he had died, they deified him.
Yeah.
So, and so, I mean, I've got Spider-Man films where he shows up in other things too. I've got Ninja Turtles showing up in Batman films. You know, they go across different universes all the time, but that doesn't make them any more real. These, again, are just characters in a story. It's very hard for me to accept the fact, I guess. A lot of people like to say that Jesus was a real person. I go either way, man. It could be either way. But what I want to know is where we get from real person to supernatural person. Where does that come in? So we've got the Bible that says it's a real person. Do you accept the supernatural things it says about him in there?
Like of him being risen from the dead?
There's one. Yeah. What about that? Do you like that one? Is that a thing you go with?
Or the acts that they did while he was roaming the
earth?
That
as well. Yeah.
Okay.
All of it. Any of it. I mean, are you on the page with the Bible with it? Do you believe it's true?
Where I'm at with the Bible and where I'm at with my Christian journey is that I did things that weren't involved with anything Christian or anything religious for a large part of my life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't particularly like the person that I was becoming. And just like all humans, we like absolutes. We like closed loops inside of our minds.
Yes.
And I am able to take things from the Bible that I believe are things that make up a good person.
Such as?
Where those traits. Such as strive for joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility, tender-hearted, forgiving, selfless, humble, temperate, dignified, sound in faith, in perseverance, sensible, trustworthy, loving. All of these things are talked about in the Bible where it says things.
There's small parts in there that say, you know, love your neighbor, do good. But there's a lot of parts in there that says stone your neighbor, get your slaves from your neighbor, slaughter your neighbor, kill your neighbor's prostitutes. There's a lot of stuff like that. But we don't need the Bible to tell us to be decent human beings. Why do we need a book that says to slaughter people to tell us how to be good people?
It actually doesn't in the New Testament of telling people to stone people. Like, I'm not sure where you're getting that.
Like, no, we wrote one, the Romans one, the one about the gay people.
The Romans one, okay. Yeah.
There's that
one. Yeah, and so you have to take that, too, with historical context where, example, for our entire society, not just Christians, for the longest period of time, were against gay people. And so you have to
and
read
Jesus
it too with
didn't stop that.
Historical context. If you read any type of literature in different areas, hell, there were movies in the 60s that had nothing to do with religion that they would talk about shaming gay people and stuff. And so you have to read things with historical context where that was the context back then. Slaves were the context back then.
Right. Why didn't Jesus stop that context and tell them?
Because it's the living word. It's how we live throughout our lives. And it's not necessarily this written word where the words that are written are in history, they're dead. It's like, how are we living our lives based off of certain things in this and how society has changed throughout all of it, where there's amazing principles throughout all of it that if people abide by them and avoid all the negative ones, for example, there's avoiding idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, immorality.
Why is avoiding sorcery and idolatry a good thing?
Idolatry is looking up to people like Drake, for example, where I was.
Well, don't look
Drake
up to bad people. Look up to good people. Choose Steve Irwin instead.
How do you know who's good or bad?
You look into them. You do research. But, or you can actually hang out with them, too. Sometimes you can hang out with these people. But I'm going Steve Irwin and Mr. Rogers as my two people I'm looking up to. You find anybody else
looking at them through what lens of how can somebody who's in the younger generation look at somebody who's good or bad, who has no context of what good or bad is?
Wait, so what? I'm not a younger generation though. I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at these people and they are good people. but they don't have Jesus. Does that make them bad people?
No, because
good question.
Because that's the question of what is having Jesus. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, for example, Jordan Peterson, when Jordan Peterson is asked the question of, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Jordan Peterson says, no, but he's like, it doesn't matter if I believe in Jesus or not, but my actions are as if I believe, which is very similar.
Which part does he believe? That is so vague. That is so vague, man. You know how many different kinds of Christians there are? That's a weird statement. I don't like that guy. Anyways, but let's go back to the Romans 1:24 thing here. In this instant, which historical accuracy or context should we take this in when God makes people gay and then punishes them for being gay? Which historical context are we doing here? I mean, what's wrong? What am I missing?
It's the historical context that homosexuality was never permitted throughout
right, so
history,
God made them gay
up until
knowing
very
that
recently.
That homosexuality was not permitted. Well, actually it was. People were allowed to be gay. God didn't. God's the one with the problem. Roman people were gay. Did you know that? They had gay people in Rome and they were fine. Anyways, so, and then God made them gay and then punished them for being gay because God thought it was a bad thing. Romans didn't think it was a bad thing. God did. So God made them something bad and then punish them. I don't get it. Help me understand the historical context here.
You're reading into a lot of words in that.
Well, that's what words are for. That's why somebody put them there so we could read into them.
Well, you have to realize that it wasn't Jesus who was writing any of these words down. It was
no, Jesus never wrote a damn thing.
Yeah. Exactly. And so it was the translation through these people. And so that can get lost in terms of the historical context based off of the, that's why you have to read things based off of the historical context.
Right. Where's the historical context?
The historical context is that homosexuality wasn't permitted until recently in terms of society.
Yeah. Well, that's debatable, but we can go there.
It's not debatable.
It is. It is. The Romans were gay and they were fine with it. Did the Romans have a problem with gayness? Was gayness accepted in the Roman society?
I would love to see information of it being accepted in Roman society.
Okay. Well, we can do that another time. Right now, I don't have time to do all the research here.
I know.
I'm going to write that down. Gay Romans. And we will just go to town on that one. Maybe in an intro or maybe next time. Yeah. That'll be good too. Fun. Oh man. So many things here.
Let's talk about prostitution.
Go ahead. Yes. Let's talk about prostitution.
Yeah. I want to hear your thoughts about prostitution.
What about like what?
Like, do you think that it's completely fine for women
fine? No, yeah. I don't think it's completely fine. There are circumstances where it is not completely fine, but there are circumstances where it is fine. If the woman is not being hurt and that's what she wants to do, it's her body. Let her do it. You know, no big deal. Nobody's being harmed.
So for herself, like for a woman, for example, if you had a daughter, is she a good person? Is she doing good acts that are beneficial to the community, to the world?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Stripping online.
Well, why not? Why is that so bad? Tell me.
How is that?
Give me a reason it's bad. Give me a reason. If they're happy doing it and they're making money and the people watching it are happy doing it and nobody's being hurt, where's the bad? Tell me where the bad is.
There's many reasons.
Tell me one.
Okay, sure. Well, their future kids.
Their future kids. So if it's not being recorded, it's okay?
Well, if it's not being recorded, then it's going into, like, if for example, if they were at a strip club and it wasn't being recorded.
Okay, so yeah, mom's at a strip club, woo, taking off the top, woo, not worried about my kids because they won't see this in the future. Okay, so what's wrong?
It's the reason why. It's the reason behind why are you doing things?
Because they want to. They enjoy it. They think it's fun.
No, they're definitely doing it because of money.
Oh man, Luke. Now you're assuming to know what strippers are thinking.
You're assuming to know.
I'm assuming that everybody has a reason, and it's not always the same reason. That's what I'm assuming. And that seems more natural to me. So not every stripper is there because they have to have money for medical school. Some strippers are there because they like it. They enjoy the job. I don't know,
why,
man.
Why did they enjoy it?
I don't know. Let's go interview one of them. That's a whole nother thing, man. We'll talk
that's
to
a whole
yeah,
other
that's
thing.
A yeah, I'm not a stripper. I don't know. But I don't see the harm in it if nobody's being harmed. If they're not doing it because they're being forced to, then
if you just
I don't
look
see
at
an
it,
issue.
If you just look at it through even the lens that, for example, we start our discussion on of, you know, why you do what you do based off of what you your outlook on the world is, what you think afterwards. And you said of being a good person and doing good deeds, leaving a good impact on the world. And I don't see a single area that prostitution and that stripping leaves a positive impact besides making people temporarily happy for
a that's
very
a positive
short
impact
period of
right there. Titties jiggling is a positive impact. I'm telling you right now.
It's short
term that
happiness.
Like it.
It's short term happiness that
exactly. Short term happiness in my life, and I get a little happy here, a little happy there. This is great. I'm having fun. I don't go to strip clubs, but just clearing that out of the way.
Right, so why don't you go to strip clubs?
Well, because I'm happily married. I don't need it. If I want some jiggly titties, I ask my wife or I do it myself. I don't know. Come on, man. I don't need it. If I wanted to, I could, but I don't.
Whenever you strive for anything short term or you do anything short term, it always leads to just it's a fleeting feeling.
Why have fun at all? I'm not going to go on a camping trip then because it's going to end. I'm not going to enjoy that cheeseburger because, you know, it's going to end.
A camping trip would build a relationship.
What if I go by myself?
Well, why would you go camping by yourself?
Why would I not? No, I don't know. I'd bring the family for sure. But if I could, I'd go by myself. What's so wrong with that? Just spending time with nature, relaxing. I don't see a problem with that. That's temporary. All of that is temporary, and then it will end. And then I will have to go back to normal life again. And life is, and I got to find little things that make my life, yay. And if jiggling titties is something that makes my life, yay, then shit, do it, man. Nobody's getting hurt. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy those titties. That's the title of this episode. No, it's not. I'm not going to do that.
Please don't do that title.
I'm not doing that. Yeah. Oh, but you know, I again, if nobody's being harmed and it's a positive experience, then I don't see anything wrong with it. And as George Carlin once said very wisely, selling is legal, fucking is legal. Why isn't selling fucking legal? I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it is legal in some areas.
There you go. See, I'm in Nevada. I think there's somewhere around here it's legal.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So if nobody's being hurt and if people are enjoying themselves, I don't see what the problem is. There's no demons pushing people. Ah, yes, you're going to enjoy the jiggly titties. No, I'm going to enjoy the jiggly titties. I don't need a demon to poke at me. It's just my natural thing. And I'm not going to take it too far. I'm not going to go kidnap that woman so I have her jiggly titties all the time. No, I don't need Jesus or the Bible to tell me not to do that. I can pretty much figure that on my own. So that's my moral grounding. Not the Bible.
It does it just prostitution in general. One thing that you said, like just flicked a switch where it sexualizes women.
And what if they want to be sexualized?
Well, literally the entire feminist movement has been for.
So you're telling me that no woman wants to be sexualized. If a woman gets into the stripping job, they don't want to be sexualized.
There's definitely
if a woman
some
becomes
that
a prostitute,
want
they don't want to be sexualized.
Sure, but we're talking about the impact of society.
Maybe we should find a new job.
We're talking about the impact of society and what it does in terms of like what your actions do.
That has nothing to do with a strip club, though. Yeah, society and men have issues with control. Women also have issues with control. Oh, my God. Okay, so I went and saw a movie. Robert Downey Jr. was in it. This woman sitting next to me with her daughter, not my wife. There was another woman over there. And she's over there drooling over Robert Downey Jr. Oh, God. It's like, calm down. A little self-control, please. But, you know, it's men, women, we do it. We're human beings. We are sexual beings. And we lash out sometimes with that. Can't hold it in. Like, wow, look at them jiggly titties. You know, it just happens, man. It happens. I don't think I've said titties as many times on a show as this one ever. Ever. Thank you, Luke.
what if somebody just gave into their desires, like everything that they desired at every single point in life?
that would be bad if it's harming somebody. Very simple.
No, but you just give it, you just give in to your desires, but it doesn't harm anybody.
Well, then great. Enjoy yourself. I mean, crap, dude. We're here to live life. I want to live. I don't want to sit there and just read books all day. I want to go out. I'm going to say it. I want to see jiggly titties. You know, that's why I'm here, is to enjoy life. But, and if it doesn't harm anybody, there's no problem.
Yeah. So harming anybody. So like, that's the key thing that we're talking about here.
Exactly.
What about harming yourself? So like,
how am I harming myself?
But for example, desire. What about if you do cocaine? What if you do drugs that harm?
Well, those are bad things, Luke. Yeah.
Okay. But those don't harm other people. So
that harms you.
That.
Yeah.
So harming yourself is bad.
In an extreme way, yeah, of course.
Got it. So harming yourself in an extreme way is bad. So how are we defining an extreme way? Something that
cocaine.
Has
if I'm just
impact.
Doing lines of cocaine all the time, Luke, that's not good for my body.
No,
that's harmful.
Now there are so many studies out there of what happens of when you watch porn, when you go to strip clubs, that the spike in dopamine levels make everything else in life less purposeful. You experience less happiness in other areas of your life. So
like when you're on a roller coaster.
No, it's like
it's a peak dopamine. You're like, and then you get off the roller coaster and life still goes on, but you can get back on that roller coaster and experience that again. Yeah.
Well, we're doing a correlation between roller coasters and stripping, but I think roller coasters are dumb as shit too, but.
Oh, I like roller coasters, but that's okay. It's been a while since I've been on one, but I do enjoy them. But it's that short burst of happiness. That's what life is about, is moments of that happiness and moments of interaction with other people and what you do with it. I don't understand. If you do less harm, good job. If you've got some problems and you're harming people and yourself, let's try and fix that. We can do that. We don't need the Bible to tell me, though. I don't need the Bible to tell me. I mean, it tells me where to get my slaves from. How often I should beat them. It tells me to stone certain people and ugh, no, thank you. No, thank you. But Luke, this has been a blast. I've said things I have never said on the show before. I appreciate that. Any closing arguments, words, and where can we find you at?
Yeah, this was an interesting conversation. I'd be down to be back on.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. Yeah, if anybody wants to see me, all I do on my social media, I actually don't post anything about really Christianity across my social media. I just post stuff that has helped me along the journey of getting to the business place that I am here, and maybe allows people to not go through as many struggles and learn from my life lessons. So you can just follow me on my Instagram at Luke Lentz. That's like best place to find me right now. But yeah, appreciate the conversation, man. Appreciate the discussion.
Absolutely, Luke. Thank you so much for hanging in there. And we'll keep in touch. Stay safe out there, man.
Yeah, you too, man. Take care.
That's all the show there is for you today. Thanks for listening. As always, you can find all things BSW related on the show's website at thebiblesayswhat.com. If you like what you heard and want to help keep the recording light on, simply go to thebiblesayswhat.com and sign up to be a supporter of the show. Your episodic tithes of a dollar or more will get you early access to each new episode on Wednesdays instead of Sundays. And no matter which platform you use to listen to your podcasts, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss out on the next episode. Until then, would you kindly share and review the show? Next time on The Bible Says What?
Okay, so you decide to shoot your wife with this gun. Did the one that put the gun there make you do it?
Did the one that put the gun there make me do it?
Sure, yeah.
Now, if the guy that put it there knew what I was going to do with that gun, would it be his fault?
If the guy who put it there knew what you would do with it, would it be his fault?
1,000% in a court of law, you would be judged. You would be sent to jail as well. You gave him the weapon knowing exactly what he would do. It's kind of like premeditated at that point. God premeditated sin. God premeditated the fall of man. God premeditated all of this. This is all his plan. This is what he wants.